Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. Today, we are covering Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 47 from December the 19th of 1992. Doc, we are 6 days away from Bah Humbug Christmas Chaos. What you got for us this week, man?
Christmas My Foot.
Christmas My Foot, in the illustrious words of the great Ron Wright.
You know what else?
What's that?
This is the next to last show of 1992.
Yeah, we've technically gotten through not quite a full calendar year because we kicked off at the beginning of February of 92. February 1st, I think, was the first episode. But you're right. This is, this is crazy, man. We're almost done with the first calendar year of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. God, it's been a great ride, hasn't it? We'll do a review show, won't we? Recap, kind of, maybe?
I sure hope not.
Well, they do a good recap show. Either next week or the week after. They do a very good, I think it's 2 weeks away. They do a very good recap of the first year. They miss a few things because you only got an hour, but they do some good stuff. So
they
anyway.
Do some good stuff. What?
Yeah. Well, they do some, I mean, it's been a fun year, has it not? Okay. It's been a fun year, though. I mean, we'll talk more about that, but it has been a fun year. Doc, you know, it's funny. Everybody knows we record two of these every single Friday when we're off from work. So every other Friday we record an episode. So, and we start at 9 a.m. Central Time for people who don't know. And so today is June the 16th, 2017. It's a Friday. And when we were recording the previous week, which was 46, you heard last week, we... You know, Harper wasn't there, and so I texted Harper, and I was like, hey, man,
here's
you joining us?
I can confirm the Chris Cornell. Rest in peace, Harper.
No, that's not true. So I said, hey, man, you joining us? And I never got a response, so Doc and I was like, all right, well, maybe something came up, and we'll have to record. So we start recording and didn't hear from Harper, and then all of a sudden, I noticed he was on Facebook Messenger. I said, hey, man, we just finished episode 46, but we're about to do 47 if you're done banging bitches. Harper's one-line response to me was, get this, Doc, I completely forgot.
Glad to see that we're a priority in Harper's life.
Okay. Well, and it was, you know,
here's the thing.
Go ahead.
If Harper had hair, it would be blowing in the breeze as he just strolled along and drove through life in his convertible because he ain't encumbered by family situations.
Yes, that is true. So I said, it's cool, man. We're about to do 47 if you want to join. He says he's at work. He completely forgot. I said, no problem. He said, I forgot until you texted me. Now, it's key to point out that we just talked about this not even 48 hours ago.
Right.
Harper is so carefree. I'm jealous.
Before we got off with the last last NWA, like, all right, you know, we kind of hang up, book it, bitch, and then it's like, all right, we still good? Everybody good for 9 on Friday? Yeah. All right. See y'all in a little bit. Bye.
Right. The last words we tell each other. Oh, for fuck God. It's all right, man. It's cool. Anyway, so, all right, Doc. We are still in Clairfield School in Clairfield, Tennessee. You know, we had another good week last week, and we're going to jump into another good week this week. Dutch and Bob Cottle open up the show. Dutch has a Mirage jacket on from the hotel in Las Vegas, and Bob says, you wish you were still there, don't you? So we didn't have any signs this week. Dutch is pissed.
But I did have a note here that said, Dutch's wrestling sense is top-notch, but his fashion sense is not so much.
Oh, yeah. No, it never was for Dutch. But Dutch is pissed, and he says... He will be confronting Tim Horner on Down and Dirty because of Horner's thievery and stealing the Smoky Mountain Wrestling title. And God
somebody
damn it, Dutch,
to.
I'm on your side.
Yeah, somebody needs to get to the bottom of this shit.
Call that motherfucker out.
Armstrong
Let's get to this
it,
shit.
Armstrong said it doesn't count, so where's the belt?
Yeah, we want the strap back. Get it off of that chicken fucker's waist.
Chicken fucker.
That's Jesus. What Cornette called him, remember?
Well, you're not Cornette.
Okay. Additionally, Bob Cottle throws us to a promo where we learn about the new Beat the Champ TV title. So, Doc, I've actually got it queued up, and I was going to play how the Beat the Champ TV title is going to work rather than speak through it. Are you okay with that?
Hell yeah, another strap. I love it.
Yeah, and actually, I'll play it, and then I'll give my thoughts on the coming months with the Beat the Champ TV title. So here it is.
A new championship will soon be at stake in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. The Beat the Champ TV title holder will be crowned right here on television in the near future, so stay tuned for further details. The rules are as follows. The names of all SMW wrestlers go into a hat, a blind draw is made, and four contestants are chosen. These four men will meet in a four-man elimination match. The winner will be the first Beat the Champ TV title holder and receive $1,000. Each week on TV, he will defend that title against an opponent chosen by a blind draw, and each additional victory earns him $1,000. If the champ defends successfully for five straight weeks, he wins an additional $5,000 and retires undefeated. If he is beaten before that time, the new champ earns $1,000 and the opportunity to go on to defend for 5 weeks. The title can change only by pinfall or submission. Disqualification, countout, or time limit draw are as good as a win for the title holder. That's why the challenger must beat the champ.
All right, Doc. I wasn't sure. I remember when you first started watching Smoky Mountain and you explained the whole Beat the Champ to me, and I didn't understand quite what it was. But I just want to say, I really like the coming months, at least, that I've watched full episodes on of Beat the Champ and how it works, because it gives guys an opportunity to make TV. It gives people, it's not like the same old every single week. And it gives guys to it gives an opportunity for some meaningful matches each week on TV, and that's what I like about Beat the Champ that's coming up. So I don't know what are your thoughts before, as we are about to kick off Beat the Champ soon.
I have a bunch.
Okay.
Okay. So first of all, that song was so beaten that not even I knew what it was. But if I had to guess, it sounded like something like a Survivor, or one of those kind of bands. That's the band that wrote "Eye of the Tiger." Just okay. Awful. Like, yeah. Really, 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 we're in almost 1993. We're way past this. I mean, just come on.
Just salty Doc, as usual.
But here's the thing. Everything you said about this is this is a classic example of adding a belt, but then treating it like it's got some importance, and then it means something. So you're right. You're going to get guys. The way they do this that I love is you're going to get guys that may not have a big time program, may not be in the hunt, may not be the main guys we talk about and give government cheese to, but now they're going for a belt, and it's another way to tie into storylines. And because they know what they're doing with belts, it's great. And let me just give this away, and I get it's worked, but they legit draw names from a hat, a real hat.
I like the way they do it, especially if you go ahead and you're watching right now, the next, 4 to 5 months. I really like the way I like the way it happened. Like friend of the show, friend of ours now, Bobby Blaze, he actually competes in a Beat the Champ match. It's like one of his first TV matches. I mean, we're months away from that, but I kind of like how they bring in people and they face the champ. And most of the time, the champ, too, it's not like a meaningless match against a enhancement talent. And even if it is against somebody new who you would think would be an enhancement talent, like a Bobby Blaze, who ends up then having a, later on in Smoky Mountain, ends up having a big-time run. I think that the matches are all pretty meaningful, and it gives some credibility to some guys, and it helps elevate guys who, like you said, would probably not be elevated unless you did this. Now, they don't actually have a belt for it, but I'm okay with how they do it. I really like this idea and the concept, and you'll see it in the coming weeks. I think it's a good thing. I like what they do. Again, it helps make meaningful talent out of guys that you probably wouldn't, bat an eye at originally. Down the road, I should say. So, I don't know. I like it.
Yes.
Throughout the run of Beat the Champ, I mean, you've watched the whole thing. It sustains itself well, doesn't it?
I think so. It does go away at 95. And there's just a lot of interesting guys and guys that you wouldn't expect that hold the title, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil nothing, but you're right. It lends some credibility to some guys who you may not expect to win it, but that's what helps build your, I guess, enhancement lower card talent into potential main eventers. I mean, it really does. So I like it, and I think it's a good addition that Cornette introduced. I don't know if it was his idea and his idea alone, but maybe we can ask him that.
Okay. I'm sure it was Tim Horner's idea.
Yeah, of course. Jesus. All right. Well, we go to the first match. Anything else from the intro before I go to the first match I should ask, Doc?
No, ma'am.
All right. We go to the first match. It's Paul Orndorff with the Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright versus Reno Riggins. And what should be considered a bit of a shocker, Reno Riggins gets a lot of offense in during this match. And also during the match, Dutch isn't happy with Tim Horner, who still hasn't returned the heavyweight title belt to Bullet Bob, so Bullet Bob can give it back to the Dirty White Boy. Dutch also claims he's going to get in Tim Horner's grill about stealing the belt and not returning it, which he said in the opening as well. The finish of the match is Reno Riggins hitting Orndorff with a crossbody, but Orndorff rolls through like we've seen him do a couple of times and ends up pinning Riggins with a large handful of tights because he's a heel. Doc, what are your thoughts on this match where Riggins really got a lot of offense?
Yeah, I had the note. Orndorff really helped Riggins look good here. I also had a note. I wonder what Orndorff thinks about being in this hellhole. Because, I mean, you have to admit it.
This guy's headline WrestleMania, right?
Right. He's the biggest name. I mean, you can say Garvin held the NWA strap. And there's a legitimate case there, but Orndorff has got the biggest national profile of anybody in the promotion in 1992. And I just wonder what he thinks about being in Clearfield, Tennessee. But I thought this was a really good opening match. It really established Reno Riggins as a potential, you know, now you got to, after everything we just said, you got to wonder, is Reno Riggins going to be positioned for to beat the champ kind of thing?
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see. That's, again, that's the beauty of Beat the Champ and it coming in. So, but I got to give Orndorff a lot of credit here, man. He really made Reno Riggins look good.
Sure did.
And he still comes off with the win. And he has and you watch that and you'd like, well, he didn't lose anything from it. He won. He cheated with pulling the tights. But hey, he went out there and he made Reno Riggins look great in the fact that he gave him a lot of offense. And the way he beat him with a handful of tights. So good heel stuff from Paul Orndorff there. Really, I enjoyed that match considering it's just the kickoff match of the show.
Absolutely.
We go from that to Paul Orndorff, Ron Wright, and the Dirty White Boy, along with Bullet Bob Armstrong, and it is a promo, and that is what I'm going to play right here for everyone.
Goes right through it, comes right around, maybe a little bit of tights, but irregardless, Paul Orndorff victorious over Reno Riggins. Let's go right now to Bob Collins standing by with the Dirty White Boy and Paul Orndorff right now.
All right, Dutch and Wright, you are. Here is Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, the Dirty White Boy, Mr. Ron Wright. And I tell you, you two are going to be teamed together. We got tag team action at Christmas Chaos against Ronnie Garvin. And what is it? He wants his belt.
That's
he wants
exactly
his belt.
What
that,
want.
Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what he's saying. They took the belt and they won't give it back to them. We're needing to get Bob Armstrong and get some kind of something ruled and get our title back where it belongs.
You never find Bob Armstrong when you need him. I want my belt back. There's a thief in Smoky Mountain and his name is White Lightning Tim Horner. Speaking of belt,
right, here he is. Yeah,
I wanted to see
Commissioner Bob Armstrong.
We know who he is. I want my belt back, and I want my belt right now. So do something about it. You're the man. You're the commissioner. So give me my belt.
Let me just say this. I've looked for the belt. I cannot find the belt. I asked Tim Horner. He does not know where the belt is. But I'll tell you what. I've tried to have a single match with you guys, see who the best man is, and give it to the best man. But I'll tell you what. Since Christmas Chaos is coming and you guys have a tag match, I'm going to put your belt up in that tag match. How about that?
No, you can't do that. That's not like a handicap match. Two men against one. What do they have to lose? I've got everything to lose.
Okay.
Okay. You're a fair man, Bob. Okay. You're a fair man.
Okay.
Come on,
you're right.
Do the right thing.
All right, you're right. You have a point. I'm going to do the right thing.
There you go.
Since it's a tag team match, I'm just going to put your belt up the first 30 minutes of that match.
The first 30 minutes?
Hey! Tim Horner! Ronnie Garvin! You're a T-H-I-E-F! Do you know what that spells? That's exactly right! Oh, you stupid! illiterate rednecks out there don't even know how to spell your old name. You bunch of morons. Myself, a dirty white boy. I want my robe back. He wants his belt back. We want our
belt back. It comes down at Christmas chaos. We'll be back.
We want my robe.
We want my belt.
We want my belt.
That was a chaotic scene right here. I got a lot to say, Doc, so I guess I want to throw it to you first.
Well, so, first of all, Orndorff's hot.
He's damn really right he is.
But, so, I'm not, you know, we probably get accused by some of our morons out there to, like, we're just corny apologists and we love corny too much and all this. And maybe that's true, but I'm also going to tell you when something happens that I don't like, and I do not like the world strap being up for grabs in a tag match. I do not like that at all. And to me, the first 30 minutes doesn't help that stipulation at all, and I do not like this. So I just that this stipulation and match doesn't do a lot for me from that perspective. But other than that, our heels are being heels, and they're good at it.
I can explain why he did it like this. And this is not me having any insider knowledge on it. So Dirty White Boy wants his belt back. I don't like this ruling from Bullet Bob where the heavyweight title is on the line in a tag match. Although, again, I think I know why Cornette did this. Christmas Chaos is going to be a big event. He needs the belt involved in Christmas Chaos in some way, shape, or form. But we all know Cornette didn't want Hornet with the belt. He also didn't want to do Dirty White Boy versus Horner in a singles match because the feel-good thing to do in that situation, Christmas Day, is to give Horner the belt on Christmas at the big event. So what he did was he put him in a tag match and he says the belt is on the line for the first 30 minutes. And then after 30 minutes, it's not on the line. So what he did was, and this is a little bit of a spoiler, you have Horner or Horner's team defeat Dirty White Boy and Paul Orndorff after 30 minutes. As the babyface, it kind of saves face for Horner, but that asshole doesn't get the belt because he wins it after the 30-minute mark, and he's not your Smoky Mountain Wrestling Heavyweight Champ.
Thanks for the spoilers.
Well, I don't know if that's what's going to happen. I'm just saying that's why you do it after 30 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Or the 30 minutes goes by and, you know, Garvin pins Orndorff or Garvin pins Dirty White. But it really doesn't matter. The point is he needed to do something feel good, but
this
you
is all
know
too
good.
This is all too complicated.
I'm just telling you why he did it the way he did it. I mean, you're asking for a reason. I don't like the world title involved in tag matches either, but let's be real. It did happen from time to time back then. However, I see why Cornette did what he did. He could not put that belt on Tim Horner and have any credibility to it, if you ask me. So, whatever. Okay. We go from that. Anything else from that segment?
No, ma'am.
We go from that to a local promo. Did you want me to play the local promo with a Dirty White Boy and Cornette here? Do you have notes from it or anything?
No.
Okay. I didn't either.
The only thing I thought was I had it was good, and that Dirty White Boy comes out rolling with a ponytail and an earring and cementing his heel status, but you can put it at the end.
Yeah, nothing spectacular, but I'll put it at the end and it'll go up on the YouTube page as well. And then we get a personality profile. Tracy Smothers, boy, oh boy, we got us a white meat, southern born, southern bred, thoroughbred with Smothers. And that's all I had from that personality profile. That shit beat the piss out of that bullshit Tim Horner did a while back when he sung Shameless. But,
well,
go
okay,
ahead, Doc,
so now,
your
now,
thoughts.
Now we had a song here.
I don't know the song. I mean, you're asking the wrong dude, bro.
Are you familiar? Right now there's a bunch of people listening to us laughing about where this is about to go. Okay. Are you familiar with the band Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Freebird.
Well, yeah. Well, okay, here you go. I wish Harper was here. I need Harper here for this. Okay, so did you ever
I don't know what to tell you. He was out banging bitches last night and he couldn't join us.
I know. I hope his envelope's going to be light after this.
It'll be as light as yours.
Right. That's what I've been saying for years. you just broke kayfabe for all the fine people. So anyway, did you ever see the movie Boogie Nights?
Yeah, I saw that dumb shit.
It's not dumb. It's a great movie.
That shit was stupid.
Okay, once again, you're going to get a lot of feedback from the fans on how you're wrong here.
Dumbass movie. Go ahead.
Well, all right, Twitter fools, tell him.
Come on, man. Make your goddamn point.
So in Boogie Nights, they do this plot twist where Dirk Diggler, who's the Mark Wahlberg character, they do like a personality profile on him, and he likes poetry and shit like that, even though he's a porn star. That's kind of what this reminded me of. but yeah, to your point, white meat baby face, high school legend, sports god. You know he was. You know with that personality profile, no pun intended, he was wearing that ass down at the local high school when he was in high school.
You heard what Bobby Blaze said a few weeks ago about
he was the king
about Tracy and I'm not trying to cause no heat now, but man, I was in Smoky Mountain with Tracy Smothers, and man, Tracy was doing his thing, man. So come on now. Yeah, you know he was wearing it out, dude. He was banging it. Oh man.
Why not?
God. What'd you say?
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, hey, if it's there for you, knock it down. Okay, anything else, Doc, from the personality profile?
Nah. I do like these. These are good.
When it's not Tim Horner.
Well, yeah. That's a good
obviously, right? I mean, come on now. Okay, we go from that, and it's now time for the Stud Stable and Dutch Mantel. So here we go.
All right, fans, and with us right now, of course, the Stud Stable right here, Jimmy Gold and Robert Fuller, friends of yours, Dutch, by the way.
Good friends of mine. Now, look, we're going to take this time right now. Robert, I want you to reiterate the same thing to me, to the fans that you did to me earlier today.
Well, I'm going to try to stay calm in the face of some real adversity here. I don't need to hear your goods or bads, little fella. I'm not out here to talk to you anyway. Dutch is the commentator of the Smoky Mountain program. Dutch, you said things was going to turn around in our direction. You said that we was going to get the title match. You said you was going to see into it personally. And nothing's happened, man. I got to tell you.
We're still in the same boat. We're still in the same. What do we got to do here? We've beat everybody that they've asked us to beat. Commissioner Bob Armstrong won't do nothing about it. They're afraid to give us a title match because they know what's going to happen. They know exactly what's going to happen.
Well, I think what's happened, there's some political maneuvering going on here and some backstabbing insider stuff going on. And I don't quite understand it, but I know, Robert and Jimmy, if anybody deserves a title match, you guys do, and my investigation is continuing. I promise you.
I'll tell you what. You tell your Commissioner Armstrong. You tell anybody you need to tell. We don't care who we have to wrestle to prove. We're not only the top contenders in this area. We ought to be the champions now, and as soon as we get that title match, it's exactly what we're going to be.
All right, fans. We're going to be back. We'll have more right after this.
Okay. What you got? Besides the fact that when that promo ended, they actually show a clip of fucking Sullivan cracking Jeff Daniels across the back of the head as that promo was wrapping up. I just had to bring that up because of our lively discussion last week. Go ahead, Doc.
I love how Robert Fuller feels no need whatsoever to face the camera.
Yeah, it's a privilege to listen to him.
It's just, he just turns his back to the camera and just cuts his interview.
Well, Paul Orndorff does that too, in fairness.
He does, but it's just, I don't know, I'm enamored with all things Fuller these days, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We both are at this point. Robert Fuller can't do any wrong. Is that safe to say?
If he came out and sang Shameless, I'd be like, that was great.
That was awesome.
Why didn't I think of that?
Right. Okay. Anything else from that?
Well, they're just, you know, Dutch, what's going on here kind of thing. I love it.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but these two studs, you know, no pun intended, they deserve a title shot. I agree. I mean, I'd love to see Robert Fuller hold some Smoky Mountain Gold, man. I mean, him and Jimmy are right there, dude. Jimmy's not the talker that Fuller is, but he's still a shit-kicking guy in the ring that can handle his own. So, I agree, man. These two, yeah, hell yeah. Okay. We go from that to a Brian Lee promo. Now, I need to point out, they replay the segment of Kevin Sullivan butchering primetime Brian Lee from episode 41. So 6 weeks ago, they're still replaying the assault of Kevin Sullivan on primetime Brian Lee when Sullivan made his Smoky Mountain Wrestling debut as the master. I thought this was a good promo by primetime Brian Lee, and I'll play it here.
Christmas chaos, 1 week away. Kevin Sullivan, it's been 6 weeks since you put me in the hospital. It's been 6 weeks that I've been sitting around my home. It's been 6 weeks that I've been counting down the days to get back in the ring with you. The doctors are telling me my internal injuries, where you injured my guts, I'm not going to be ready. But primetime Brian Lee knows better than anybody. My guts are fine. And I'm going to find out what your guts are about. Because at Christmas chaos, when I get my hands on you and I start tearing you from limb to limb, it's going to be all over. Kevin Sullivan, Christmas chaos, primetime Brian Lee's coming. You better look out.
You know, the only...
All right, Doc, what'd you think?
My guts are fine. I thought at least he didn't say he was going to get up in some guts.
Okay. I thought it was fine. I mean, it was short. You didn't care for it?
Nah.
Let me tell you why I liked it. I liked it because it was relatively short. I think with guys like him and even Horner, I think the shorter you make the promo, the better is for him. I think it doesn't expose their, you know, opportunities that they have. And weaknesses that they have in promo. So I was fine with it. I mean, I didn't, you know, it was like basically less than a 40-second promo, and I thought that's how you effectively position primetime Brian Lee.
Let's get Sullivan and a spike out here with his what does he say?
I don't remember. Just that quick.
Say it.
The sound effect?
Yes.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
I need more of that.
Okay, butchering, yeah.
Right, I need more butchering and less talking right now.
Oh, man. Okay, well, we go from the primetime Brian Lee promo, and they recap, there's a recap of the Stomper versus Sullivan, and then a Bullet Bob comes in with a promo. So when I say a recap, it's primetime Brian Lee. Right after the primetime Brian Lee, they lead directly into the Master versus the Mongolian Stomper at Thanksgiving Thunder is what I meant. And then Bullet Bob comes in, and he's got something to say. So here is Bullet Bob's thoughts.
Mongolian Stomper.
Commissioner Armstrong, we just saw that. We saw Kevin Sullivan. We saw the Mongolian Stomper. We heard from Brian Lee. Do you think, what about this? The doctor says that Brian Lee is probably coming back too soon.
Absolutely. I'm for Brian Lee more than anybody. I want him to get his revenge, but he's coming back way too soon, and that's why I reiterate Smoky Mountain Wrestling cannot be responsible for this tag team match, the Night Stalker and Kevin Sullivan versus primetime Brian Lee and the Stomper. Anything can happen in this match, yeah. So we'll have to non-sanction match. We cannot be responsible at Smoky Mountain.
All right, fans, and that's the story, and that's what's going to happen with that match. That's just going to be a whale of a match. Non-sanctioned Christmas chaos. That's when it's going to occur. Let's go to the ring now, fans.
Okay, so non-sanctioned match. I think we already knew this was coming, or we mentioned this last week, I want to say. Doc, your thoughts on this?
Non-sanctioned means this shit, especially with non-sanctioned with Sullivan and Stomper involved, tells me that this is not the match where you want to go out to the merch table, right?
Yeah, because the merch table might get knocked over and destroyed.
you might become part of the angle, right?
You become part of the match at this point. Yes, I agree. Okay.
So if you want to become part of the angle with BTT, what would you do, Mike?
That might be the worst lead into some kind of plug. Well, what I would do is I'd go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory, and then I'd click the Shop Now button and check out our Pro Wrestling Tees store. Is that what you were leading me into? I appreciate
guys, I got this message from him that said, do your job and lead me. Let's get the begging started.
You lying sack of shit.
I don't want to do any of this. I want to talk about Smoky Mountain, but Mike wants to sell you things. So let's get that started. Jesus.
Well, Christ. I do want people to go like our Facebook page.
Come get me when we're ready for Sullivan to do some more butchering.
I do. No, but seriously, go to our Facebook page, like it, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Twitter page, @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Doc is a doctor, but he's too dumb to learn how to use Twitter. Imagine that. Yeah, that's true. I fully 100% mean that. And then don't forget to check the show notes, because in the show notes I have like the Pro Wrestling Tees store. I got the Tee Public store link, everything there. Lots of Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast theme t-shirts are available now. Just got to go to the Tee Public store, which you'll see in the show notes. So, all right. That said, Doc, we go from that to a match with the Night Stalker versus Daniel Little Bear, who's doing his Tatanka thing in the ring, even though he's not Tatanka. He's doing his like Native American dance before the match. Now, Sullivan is at ringside during the match.
That makes me nervous.
It does.
I fear for the Little Bear here.
Yeah, I feel for the Little Bear. I mean, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but is there potential for him to be scalped?
Oh.
No, I don't mean that in a bad – I mean, dude, Kevin Sullivan's got a freaking blade out there. He's knifing people up. I mean, I'm not. He's made some people juice in the last few weeks. Jesus Christ! I don't mean that derogatorily.
All right.
But yes. So we do go to, Night Stalker is beating this poor guy's ass. I think dropped a ladder on the back of the guy's head at one point.
Yeah. Well, I said at 28:50, Night Stalker suplexed Little Bear straight square on his head.
Yes. This is so fucking brutal, dude.
I like my note here is I like everything about this angle except the stupid little tombstone.
Yeah,
it's goofy looking.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
It looks like it's made out of styrofoam. Like they got to be careful with it so it doesn't break.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the bell is ringing nonstop due to the DQ. the elementary school gymnasium bell, I guess we can call it, due to the DQ by the Night Stalker. But Sullivan and they continue to beat this guy's ass. I mean, you got anything other than the fact that they just destroyed this poor kid?
Yeah, my note is Sullivan doesn't give a fuck.
He don't give two shits, bro.
And what I thought would, because, you know, Sullivan takes him back away from the ring and there's a ladder, right? Or is that last week? It's hard to tell.
No. This guy gets blasted with a ladder. He does.
Okay, so I thought what might have been funny here or good.
Funny. Okay.
Was right where Sullivan leads him to the ladder and whatnot. There's an open door probably leading to a hallway or something. If Sullivan would have just been like, let him down the hallway and they just leave. Like Sullivan just kidnapped this guy. And then what if he comes back like the next week and he's a follower?
I guess. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could do something there. Okay.
I mean, you gotta be careful cause your roster's not big. So you can't jack around with things too much. I get that. Yeah. But I saw that open door and I was like, cause Sullivan,
is he about
always,
to abduct this guy?
Sullivan always says this on his podcast. It's not what you see. It's what you don't see. It's what you can imagine. It's worse than what actually happened. So what would have been worse than him hitting him with the ladder is imagining what would have happened if Sullivan just drug him off and you didn't see him anymore.
The thing to do would be to drag him off and then keep him off of TV for a while. And then Sullivan's cutting a promo about, you see, the guy disappeared, you know, insinuating that he murdered him and killed him and buried him somewhere. That would, like, people would be like, holy shit, did he kill that motherfucker and bury him in a backyard somewhere at his house?
And
that
then he
would
comes
be
out,
sinister.
He comes out with, like, eyeliner on, and he's, like, a disciple now. That would have been great. I should book this shit. Get up, move over, Corny. Sullivan, y'all don't know what you're doing. Doxy.
All right. From the match, we go to another Kevin Sullivan promo. So here is Kevin Sullivan.
Powerbomb. And the referees are trying to protect him, and now Starker knocking him off.
Kevin Sullivan coming over near our microphone. Kevin, get the guy off of him. What in the world are you doing? Letting the guy continue to bang and stomp and kick away at him like he's doing.
What a tremendous short arm clothesline that Night Stalker just put on that Indian, that Danny Little Bear. Kevin Sullivan making his way back to the table. Here comes the Night Stalker. Let's go right now to Bob Caudle standing by. See if we can get some word from Kevin Sullivan and the Night Stalker.
Well, you got to look right there. All right, here is a Night Stalker with that, still with that tombstone with Brian Lee's name on it in his arm.
Brian Lee, plain and simple, we like to make examples of people. The master has taught me well, and the best thing about it all is I love it.
Responsibilities, Bob Caudle. No one should be responsible for their actions. Commissioner, you should be a responsible man. I'll take all the responsibilities for Brian Lee's health. Brian Lee, come on down. And Stomper, if you have crazy thoughts in your mind, I know a great psychiatrist. He'll lay you down just like this. He'll lay you down like this, and he'll ask you why you hated your father, why you hated your brother, and why you hate people. He did wonders for me, Stomper. I'll send you his card.
All right, fans, I'm Master Kevin Sullivan. We're going to be back. Right now, let's take a break, huh?
Hi, I'm Mark Miller.
Bob Caudle is just like, what in the shit is going on? Doc, your thoughts?
Sullivan's insane. I love it.
Bob Caudle.
To me, you can't miss
how insane, like, he looks. Like, you can't, I say he looks, Bob Caudle is like, what the hell is this motherfucker doing?
Right.
And it goes to show you, like, how a commentator can completely sell something for the talent.
Right.
But go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's it. And when he laid down, like, the psychiatrist, I popped on that, too. It was great.
Yeah.
And then you led us into some country fried bumpkin shit.
Oh, Sawyer Brown. Yeah, there's a Sawyer Brown clip in there.
That's Horner's people.
That's Horner's people. Okay. Anything else?
I guarantee you, if you played a Sawyer Brown song, you would just start just vomiting all over it and just shitting all over it because it's bad.
Would it be like Bobby Blaze watching a Young Bucks match?
Yes. You would need a puke bucket. It's just bad. I don't even think it's country music. I think it's like pop music with a fiddle. I need
somebody to go tell me the exact timestamp of Bobby Blaze saying that on that episode so I can clip it. Because I won't go back and re-listen to it. Bobby was like, give me a fucking bucket to puke in, shit. Oh, boy. Okay. So that Sullivan is obviously just a nutcase, and he's just ready to slaughter primetime Brian Lee. We lead into from that, if you remember at the top of the show, Dirty Dutch Mantel said he would confront Tim Horner and Down and Dirty, and here is that promo, or here is the segment from Down and Dirty with Dutch with Tim Horner.
Okay, you've got a good look at it. Now, Tim, I have you out here, and what I would like to ask you right now, it's where is the Smoky Mountain belt?
I don't know, Dutch.
You don't know where it is?
I don't know. I don't know where it is, Dutch.
Okay, you left for the belt, right?
Yes.
So, then you must know where it is. So where is it?
I don't know, Dutch.
Wait a minute. You won the belt. I mean, you took the belt. So by taking the belt, then you need to maybe know where it is. So where is it? Tell me and tell all the fans watching Smoky Mountain Wrestling, where is the belt? I'm asking you one more time.
You were right the first time. I did win the belt.
Do you know where it is? Wait a minute. Did he win the belt?
But the answer to your second question is, I don't know where it's at.
So you're telling me you don't know where it is. You left with it, but all of a sudden you have a memory lapse. You don't know where it is. You're suffering from amnesia or whatever. Well, I see we're not getting anywhere now. Let's talk. You have a big tag team match coming up with the Dirty White Boy and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, you and the Hands of Stone, Ronnie Garvin. Your comments on that?
That's right. You know, me and Ronnie Garvin coming up in Christmas Chaos. You know, now, there's no love lost between me and the White Boy. Everybody knows that. He's probably a little hotter at me since I am the champ.
Wait a minute. You're the champ, so you do know where the belt is?
No, I don't know where the belt is.
Oh, I can't believe this. Well, wait a minute. Now, you're standing here. You've got this big match coming up, this tag team match at Christmas Chaos. Let me ask you this. Where's Ronnie Garvin at?
Well, Ronnie's not here. Ronnie's in the woods hunting. He's up in Virginia hunting.
So you do know where Ronnie Garvin is, but he's not here, right?
No, he's not here. But I do know where he is because when we were hunting.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute, guys. Hang on. Hang on. Wait a minute.
No. I want my belt. Plain and simple, you stole my belt. I want it right now.
You're a thief. You're no different than Ronnie Garvin. I want my robe. He wants his belt. We want it right now.
Okay, I got to tell you guys something. Ronnie Garvin's not here today. I just want to tell you all that.
Garvin's not here?
Let me tell you something.
Whoa. Wait a minute. I'm not in this. Wait a minute. Dadgummit.
They just tried to get to escape.
All right, fans. Right. Tim Horn has run away. He's run away. He stole a belt and he's run away.
Doc, go ahead, because I'm about to go off.
Well, Horner is pulling some super duper white guy logic. If you do it, it's a crime. But if I do it, I'm being smart.
Okay.
He's not only a thief, he's a liar. And I don't care if you don't know where the belt is or not. The last time we saw it, you had it, so you're responsible for it, so you're fired. And then, to top it all off, when Orndorff and Dirty White Boy come out and attack him, he does the hero brave thing that all baby faces do by crawling on his hands and knees like a goddamn baby to get away from the two bad guys. So in summation, my note is this belt angle has made me hate Tim Horner even more.
You got to the same point that I did, but you didn't quite get there the same way.
That's all right.
Let me tell you something. This is nearly 25 years old, and Tim Horner has generated more heat than anyone in the WWE in 2017. I want Dirty White Boy and Paul Horner to skull drag and dump truck this motherfucker.
You said Paul Horner.
I can't even get it out. I want Dirty White Boy and Paul Orndorff to skull drag this motherfucker and beat this son of a bitch up so bad that I can't fucking recognize his face afterwards to wipe the smug look off of his face. Because what he did here was some heel shit.
Mm-hmm.
I hate this son of a bitch. I know that wasn't the intention, but he is just, everything about him just makes me want to just beat the piss out of him in this angle. Fuck him. Oh my God.
It doesn't even make sense for 1993 Smoky Mountain Wrestling for him to be this
way. The hillbillies like him. They're cheering him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on because I don't want to. Tim Horner, if you're listening, I'd love to have you as a guest one day.
You're right. Because after that,
he's skull drag him.
Come on the show and talk to us about getting skull drug. That'd be great.
Okay. So we then go to a promo. It is Jim Cornette and Heavenly Bodies. You remember last week, Corny was saying something about he was sweating to the oldies with Richard Simmons. So let's hear what Corny and the Heavenly Bodies now have to say leading into Christmas Chaos.
All right, fans, we'll be right now, the Heavenly Bodies, Jim Cornette, Christmas Chaos. against the Rock and Roll Express stand. It looks like he's been working out pretty good.
I want you people to feast your eyes on the best conditioned, finely tuned athlete in the world today. Corey Everson from Body Shaping is writing him love letters. Joe Weider wants him on the cover of Muscle Mag next week. Tom, are we proud of him or what?
You know, it just goes to show you, Stan, that not only our training and our intuition and our knowledge went into teaching him, but I think Acapro is going to do the job for you, Jim. Tell him.
Let me tell you something. I'm not tired a bit. I'll tell you what, right now, like I said, I'm going to be training and training and training until Christmas chaos comes around, brother. I'm on Twinkies. You know they're a performance-enhancing food. No, I'm on heavy Twinkies. I'm on those white chocolate fudge-covered Oreos. And, brother, I am stocking up on the carbohydrates. And let me tell you something, Rock and Roll Express. I've been doing wonders for my strength and conditioning. This right here is a phone book. A lot of you people up here, you don't even have telephones, but they print a phone book. Campbell County includes Jellicoe, La Follette, Corbin, Kentucky, and Williamsburg. Watch this, brother.
Go ahead, Jim.
Rip it, baby, rip it.
Come on, Jim, rip it.
Come on, Jim.
Come on, Jim.
I don't know what I thought I could do it. You told me there was a trick to it.
Yes.
You see that right there? I'm going to rip the Rock and Roll Express up just like that. And any of you rednecks that get in my way, I'll slap the taste out of your mouth. Christmas chaos, 3-on-2, rock and roll, you ain't going to know what hit you.
That Ica Pro is dynamite.
All right, Ica fans. Pro.
All right, fans, we'll be back. Let's go to the ring now with that.
Godbull Unreal on Twitter will love that because Jimmy's taking Ica Pro right here, and Godbull drinks that stuff for breakfast.
What is it?
It's a supplement. Just bullshit.
So a snake oil.
No. We'll let Godbull answer that one. All right.
I prefer not.
For the younger listeners out there, Corey Everson was fresh off of a 6-year streak with the winning streak of winning the Miss Olympia, and she had a show on ESPN during this time called Body Shaping. So she was pretty damn relevant because that's when everybody watched ESPN still, not just, you know, for live sports, but actually programming. And this was
I don't think Corny understands nutrition, though.
Probably not, which is what made this even that much more
and
relevant.
You know what?
Or
I listened
funny.
To his most recent Jim Cornette experience about his trip to New Jersey and where what he ate, and I don't think he still understands nutrition.
I think Corny does a lot of work and he's having fun.
I think he thinks that Wendy's hamburgers are full of vitamins.
It is. I agree with him.
Okay.
We love Corny. I thought Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies were good here again, though. But go ahead, Doc. What you got?
Well, when he tried to rip that phone book, I came unglued. That shit was funny.
It was. And Stan's like, come on, Jimmy. Come on. And then Corny's like mumbling. Is that what you said? It's not gimmicked.
Stan is so much better since he's got that pelt off his head.
Yeah, I agree. That fake Stan Lane, thank you for removing the pelt, man. We appreciate it, even though this was 25 years ago. I thought this was good, though.
Absolutely.
Anything else from you, Doc?
No.
Yeah, me either. I thought we just were on point here, and this was some good stuff. Okay. Well, we go from that to a match between Paul Lee and the Dark Secret versus the Rock and Roll Express. It's a very quick match where the Rock and Roll Express get the win with the double drop kick. They hit the Dark Secret with it. Doc, did you have anything from that match that you wanted to point out there? I mean, it was real quick.
Real quick, but yes. Paul Lee missed a top rope leg drop. We've talked about how painful that is. My note here was, I bet he got paid $35 for the privilege of doing it.
Yeah, that shit was, man.
That's why you don't pull out the big moves in Clearfield, Tennessee. Come on.
Well, he lands it. Like, he actually lands on his ass. If you watch, like, on the Saturday night shows, Bobby Eaton does it sometimes, but he turns his body to where he kind of takes it more, not that the hip is a better place, but he's not on his tailbone as much. Bobby Eaton looks like he takes it a little bit differently. So, I don't know. I just kind of wanted to point that out. I don't know how Paulie does that shit and doesn't shatter his tailbone, but that's just my opinion. Well, after the match, the Rock and Roll Express cut a promo, and it's interrupted by Cornette, so I'm going to play that for us here.
1, 2, 3, and a big win for the Rock and Roll Express. Let's go right now to Bob Caldwell standing by with the new Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions of Rock and Roll.
All right, fans, and right now it's the first opportunity we've had to say congratulations to these two as the new Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions.
Thank you, Bob. We appreciate it very much.
But everybody seen Jimmy Cornette come out here, yeah, acting a fool out of himself.
He's working out.
Telling everybody he's in shape. Jimmy Cornette, the worst mistake you're going to do is to step in the ring with the Rock and Roll Express. I'm talking about the new Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions. Now it's going to be Christmas chaos. And chaos is what it's all about. We have... Look over here. What is this right here?
That's Cornette. Cornette getting in the ring.
Shut up, you defects! Hey, Ricky Morton! Hey, Morton! If you're feeling froggy, why don't you hop on up here? I'm in the best shape of my life. I'll hit you so hard, your grandkids will be dizzy.
You know what? I'm going to take my time. I'll be back in about 12 seconds. How's that?
All right. He's going to go right in there after Cornette. Hey, and Robert's going to go on over toward the ring, too. Cornette's still standing up in the ring. He's doing that dance around up there.
Wait a minute. They got company.
Here come the heavenly body.
Oh!
With that towel, he had something in it, a can. A drink can, and it was full of some kind of liquid right under the head of Ricky Morton. Cornette now just kicking something away at him, Dutch.
Well, there's a Coke can right there.
With Robert outside of the ring.
And a big tennis racket across the back of Robert Gibson, courtesy of the Dr. Tom Pritchard. Now they're putting a boost to him outside.
All right, Doc. I kind of let it play for a minute, but what were your thoughts on the promo and then this segment?
Good old-fashioned ambush. And you could see it coming
basically
from a mile.
Yes.
You could see it coming from a mile away, but it worked when it happened.
Yeah, it was just an ambush.
And if you don't think a Coke can full of Coke can do something, why don't you just wrap one in a towel and hit yourself upside the head with it? And unlike those other shows that say don't try this at home, I hope all of you out there try it.
Well, I'm going to hold my judgment of the segment up for a minute because something happens at the end that we're going to play here in a second.
Is it ether?
No.
Does the ether bunny come?
But there something happens right here that I just want to hold my feelings on what we just saw. Cuz my initial reaction was I don't know if I like that what we just saw. But it's because it's just a piece of what is about to happen. So we then have, before we continue, we do have a local promo with Tracy Smothers. I got it queued up, Doc, but shouldn't we put it at the end? Because what we just saw kind of continues in a second.
Yeah, he just says something about Southern Bells, and you know that's code word for.
It's code word for I'm about to bang some bitches.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And okay. And then also freaking Tim Horner is in it, so okay, we'll play it at the end. I mean, it's...
Yeah, my note on that was vomit. That's it. I have one word. I can bring it to work Monday and show you. It says vomit. Okay. Take a picture and send it to you.
Okay, we'll do. All right. So let me get it queued up, and we are going to now go to it. So, again, this is Cornette. Not the local promo. I'll play it at the end with Smothers and Horner, but we're going to go to Cornette and Heavenly Bodies. This is at the end of the show, so here it is.
All right, fans, Jim Cornette, Killer Kyle, the Heavenly Bodies. You Look wouldn't wait for Christmas chaos.
You know, I've heard of athletes having a problem with Coke in the past. Yeah. I didn't know whether it was diet or caffeine-free or what, but now we see that Ricky Morton's got rocks in his head. Robert Gibson, I told you, I was in the best shape of my life. I just beat up both of them myself. I'm so tough, I can't stand it. I'm afraid I'm going to take somebody with my bare hands, and I'm going to kill them. If they come out here again, I'll probably just have to rip their teeth out and take their spleen and their kidneys and their liver and just separate all their bowels from them. That's a bowel.
You know what? I said it a minute ago. I'm going to say it again. Jimmy, we are so proud of you. In just 1 month time, we took him. He can only do 150 push-ups. Now he's doing 2,000 push-ups. A month ago, he was only slapping kids around and fat ladies, and now he's beating the...
And wait a minute. Here it comes. The Rock and Roll Express and Dutch... It all broke out right here before us, and to the ring they go. The Rock and Roll just drug them to the ring.
Well, the Rock and Roll coming back after that attack by the Heavenly Bodies, and now...
Okay, I'm going to stop it there.
Okay, so I like everything that happens a lot until it leads to a match.
Nah, actually, I was fine with that.
You're wrong.
No, here's okay, so I told you I was going to hold my thoughts. I didn't like what happened a second ago because I thought it made Ricky and Robert look stupid because it was an ambush and it was predictable. But I felt like it saved face because I thought this was outstanding. Just when you thought the Rock and Roll were made to look silly a second ago, they just made up for it by coming out and getting their hands on the Heavenly Bodies. And, of course, we go off air with them fighting and no resolution, which means your ass better tune in next week to see what's going to happen. So that's why I said I wanted to hold my thoughts on what we saw a little while ago, because I thought this was a great ending of the show. It's
okay.
Setting the hook for next week and what's coming with Christmas Chaos.
So Corny says, I'm so tough, I can't stand it. I popped on that. And then Stan is running down all of his accomplishments. But you need to go back and watch and clue in when Corny sees the Rock and Roll coming off screen and his reaction, because it is just awesome. And
he
scrambles and starts running. But what I don't like is, okay, so I can get a match just by attacking somebody and taking them to the ring. So why wouldn't Horner just come out and attack Dirty White Boy and take him to the ring and now have a match?
Oh, you're overanalyzing it.
Exactly, I'm overanalyzing it, and I'm a motherfucking doctor.
Okay.
That's what smart people do, son.
I beg to differ on your...
Well, you wouldn't know.
You're book smart, but you're not
common
sense smart.
I'm everything smart.
No,
podcast,
I disagree. These people
Jesus.
Would... These
Wrestling
people,
Jesus.
People, I know these people agree with me. You may be book smart, but you're not completely smart.
I'm not.
Dude,
I'm
let
book,
me tell you
I'm,
something.
Whoa.
You let fake Stan Lane on Twitter ruffle your feathers.
I'm book
he worked
smart.
You.
I'm book smart, but I like Lynyrd Skynyrd. So there you go, pal. You don't even know who they are. If the Freebirds didn't use that song, you would have no clue.
Okay. Whatever. Let's hand out some disability checks.
Three.
Doc, I went first last week. What are you giving this one?
7.2.
Ironically, I'm at 7.25. There you go.
Stop copying me, jackass.
No, I'm not copying you. I'm definitely not copying you. I got to go with Cornette for the government cheese, too. Who are you going with?
Cornette.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to. I mean, what are you...
He had two really good segments, and he suckered the and he hit Morton or Gibson with a full can of Coke. I mean,
kind of hard, huh, bro?
Sullivan was in consideration, but Corny edged him in at the finish line.
Yeah, Sullivan was definitely in consideration.
And I'm just ready for Tracy Smothers to get inserted into a big fucking angle because I feel like they're squandering his talent right now.
Maybe a little bit. Hey, I got to say thanks. I want to say thanks to, I didn't say at the top of the show, Joe Stassi, Old School Pro Wrestling Lives on Facebook, and the ICW, the Outlaws of Pro Wrestling pages. Check out their online communities. We'd appreciate if you would do that. They support us, so go show them some support and check out all the old school clips that they throw up all the time. And then, of course, I got to beg for you to become a patron. Hey, if you haven't done so, Doc, we do 8 free shows a month. Would you
it's
say
too
we put
much.
A lot of work into this?
It's too much.
How much work do we put into this? I'm not trying to put us
too
over, but I am.
Too much. You got to think about this. This is what these people don't get.
Look, dude, I'm asking for money. Why are you going to play heel right now?
It's all the stuff that you get to listen to, but then we've actually got to go out back and watch these episodes, maybe twice sometimes, but definitely once, take notes, be ready for the show, and then talk about it. So it's really, you get 8 free shows, but it's another 8 to 10 hours to 12 hours of preparation. You owe us money, you motherfuckers.
I'm not going to go there because Doc is just being a heel. It's what he does and what he does best. But I would, let me say this. It would be very helpful if you could go to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Consider becoming a patron. Sign up. Hey, you do, although it's not a guarantee that we always provide, you know, a bunch of patron-only episodes. There are some that we've done out there, and there's some pretty good pretty good ones from all the feedback we get about the Patreon episodes and some really good stuff. A lot of it's non-wrestling related, but I think you will enjoy it. We've gotten great feedback on them. But again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. I want to thank the patrons that we have. Many of them, this is not all, but Jay Shiny, B. Evans, Drew Media, Big Rich Sports, T. Steel, Spyboy Sports Cap, Steven CG, Mike Havercroft, Sparks Third Coast, M. Wilson, Voodoo Moon, Frog Zeppelin, K. Stone, Lone Wolf, G.A.M., Codeman, Adam William, Dan N, Jason, Dan V, David, Wayne G, Twit Dust, Matt, Armando, Cedric Boone, and Marty. Thank you all for being patrons. Again, here's the thing about the patrons. You can become eligible for a free t-shirt of ours from Pro Wrestling Tees or TeePublic. You can become eligible for a quarterly rant on the show. Matter of fact, Doc, as this airs, we are past the second quarter of the year, so I'm sure I've either aired another quarterly rant from us, one of our patrons. And then also, not only do you get the free episodes and the chance to be on the show, but you can become a Hall of Famer if you choose a certain tier of it. So, and I don't really like the whole tier thing, but I had enough people ask for the different tiers, so that's why I did it. So again, you can be a Hall of Famer like William Shepard, like Tim Moretti, Marty Howell, and David DeVries, who's been a longtime supporter of the show, along with the rest of the Hall of Famers. So
What tier do the people have to do for you to call them up personally and talk to them and thank them and like find out what's going on in their life and like ask them about their job and all that shit?
How about you do that?
Oh, that would never happen.
Okay.
Man,
I put in a lot of work that Doc doesn't have to.
Let me tell you a little something about that. My mother, my wife, you, really anyone can call me and I'm like, my first reaction is look at my phone and go, what the fuck?
You're saying you don't want to talk to people you know.
If my phone rings, my automatic reaction is anger.
That's nice, Doc.
I hate the fucking phone.
I do too.
I like my phone for what my phone does because it's really a computer. But the phone part, fuck that shit. You should call these people. They'd love to hear from you.
I bet they would. I may start doing that with the people who buy t-shirts, kind of like Bruce Pritchard. Wouldn't that be
a
good idea?
Yeah, that'd be a great idea. Real good use of your time.
I will. I think I'll do that.
You've got all the spare time now that you finally got through college. Now you can
fuck you.
Spend time with the good army out there, the BTT army.
Yeah, again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. I'd appreciate it if you went out there and signed up. But hey, even if you don't want to become a patron, but you're already buying things on Amazon, please use tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon, and I'd appreciate it because what happens is the show gets a little bit of kickback in return, helps support the show, and again, you're not spending anything extra that you would already be spending, so I'd appreciate that. You can go get Bobby Blaze's book from there and many other things. So again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. If Amazon sells it, you can use that link, and we get a little bit of small kickback in return. It is actually a great way to support the show, again, without spending anything extra. So, again, we'd appreciate it. I want to say thanks again to Tim Moretti again. Tim has sent me some more wrestling goodies lately. So, Tim, thank you. I appreciate it. You are the first BTT Hall of Famer, and our hashtag BTT Army Hall of Famer, and we appreciate it, man. You've done a lot to help this show out, so thanks, Tim, for your Hall of Fame membership and all of the other support that you give the show. And again, all of the links that I discussed throughout this show, please check the show notes. Plenty of Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast t-shirts are in the links in the show notes. You just got to check them, and that's about all I got, man. Doc, did I miss anything?
I don't know. I quit listening a while ago.
Okay. Are y'all tuckered out?
I'm whooped.
Nah, me too, man.
I need a nap.
I do too. All right, everybody. We got some promos of the, or not promos of the week, but we got some local promos that we're about to get to in a second. So for Mike and Doc and Hardbody Harper, who couldn't join us because he says he was working, but we think he was out banging bitches. You know what we always say when we get out of here before we throw it to the local promos. That's going to wrap up Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode 47 from December the 19th of 1992. With all that said, book it, bitch.
Wrestling fans, Smoky Mountain Wrestling returns to Barberville, Kentucky at the Knox Central High School on Saturday, January 9th at 8 p.m. You'll see Tracy's Mothers in action, many, many other outstanding Smoky Mountain Wrestling stars in a grudge match. Kevin Sullivan against Brian Lee for the Smoky Mountain title. Tim Horner, White Lightning himself, will take on the Dirty White Boy, and here's the White Boy.
Tim Horner.
Yes, sir. Tough competitor. Outstanding.
Just shut up. This is my time, all right? Now, Tim Horner, everybody knows you're the biggest thief walking the face of the earth. But no, what do? You call up Mr. Armstrong. I ain't been able to beat him in the last 2 or 3 months. Could I please just have one more shot? Well, you got one more shot, punk. So when you walk that aisle, I want you to lace those boots up real good and tight. Because right there, where we at? Barberville?
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy. Big metropolis. Well, right there, Horner, is where I'm going to leave your stinking brains scattered out all over that arena. And when I walk out, I will still be the undisputed, the undoubtable heavyweight champion of Smoky Mountain.
All right, fans, as we say, we got a great, great card in a Smoky Mountain tag title match, the Rock and Roll against the Heavenly Bodies. And if the Rock and Roll win, they get 5 minutes alone with this man right here.
Oh, and I know that all the people in Eastern Kentucky, they'd love to see the Rock and Roll 2-on-1 on top of me more than they like to get the mail and see all those food stamps come in. Well, let me tell you something. Everybody saw the last time there in Barberville, I pinned Robert Gibson right in the middle of the ring in that six-man tag. And the Heavenly Bodies were beating their stinking brains out all over the building. So now this time, it's going to be a little bit different. I'm not going to be in the ring for the match. The title's on the line, and Rock and Roll, we're coming to get our belts. And then after Stan Lane and Tom Pritchard beat you, then you're going to be broke, busted, and disgusted. You are not going to get 5 minutes in the ring with me. I can promise you that right there in Barberville on January the 9th, brother. The only thing you're going to get is a beating of your stinking life.
Wrestling fans, Smoky Mountain Wrestling returns to Barberville, Kentucky at the Knox Central High School on Saturday, January 9th at 8 p.m. And among the many stars you see will be the wild-eyed Southern boy, Tracy Smothers.
Hey,
Tracy.
Bob, how you doing?
Fine.
Doing all
good
right?
To see you, guy.
So we're in Barberville, Kentucky,
yes, sir.
January the 9th. You know, I've been there a couple of times already. They got some of the prettiest Southern belles I've ever seen in my life. And I'm going to start 1993 outright by being right there in Barberville. I don't know who I'm wrestling. Don't matter to me if it's King Kong or Godzilla. Don't really care. It's a pleasure to be back in the South. It's a pleasure to come back to Eastern Kentucky. I know my buddy White Lightning and Tim Horner's going to be there. I know the Rock and Roll Express, Primetime Brian Lee's back. There's a lot of things happening in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and I want to sink my teeth, and I want to get in the middle of it. I'm looking for title matches. I'm looking for anything I can get a hold of. I'm ready to go, man. I'll see you in Barberville.
All right, and we got a great card there in Barberville. You're going to see a grudge match. Kevin Sullivan against Primetime Brian Lee in a Smoky Mountain Tag title match. The Rock and Roll Express against the Heavenly Bodies. And if Rock and Roll win, they get 5 minutes alone with Jim Cornette in a Smoky Mountain title match. It'll be White Lightning, Tim Horner against the Dirty White Boy. Tim?
You know, last time in Barberville, I was in a six-man tag with the Rock and Roll Express, and we went up against Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies. And we had them Heavenly Bodies flying and going all over the place. Went out of the back, here come the Dirty White Boy. Came out, posted me, and DDT'd me right there on the floor. What is it with you, White Boy? Just what is it? Well, everybody knows we ain't been exactly buddies the last few months. Yeah, we've been at each other's throat. I've been at yours. You've been at mine. I've busted you with chairs. You've busted me with bottles. You've hung me. And the list goes on and on. Well, in Barberville, I don't have to worry about looking over my shoulder because I'm going to look at you right in your eyes. I'm going to stand right up to you. And if you want to jump on me, White Boy, you go ahead and jump on. And if you get tired, I'll take over. In Barberville, I'm going to be on you like a wet T-shirt. I'm going to be all over you. And in Barberville, you're going down for the three count.